Give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. All right. All right, all right, all right, all right. Yes. We in the house. What's up, people? What's up? My name is Tim Black. Welcome to another edition of Pause with Tim Black. What is going on, Johnson? What is happening? This is the Blackest Podcast. The Blackest Political Podcast. Because we're not auditioning for anybody's show. No. See, a lot of people that you see are just auditioning. They're just praying to God that they'll be able to go on someone else's network and earn a salary, which means they will then be muzzled. Some people are muzzling themselves just to show how easily their asses can be controlled. They self-censor because you can't be chosen by the system if you got a big-ass mouth like Tim Black. Now, I want everybody here to be very honest, very open, and I want to be very open and honest with everyone here, okay? It's not that I don't want nice things. It's that I don't want nice things at the expense of you. And my morals and my ethics and my humanity and my freedom and my reality. I've already worked a career in IT in D.C., And I know what that's like, and that sucks. Playing the game, kissing the ass, pretending to like people you don't like, pretending that people that don't like you are okay and cool. No more of that shit. So anybody watching this broadcast, anybody just now tuning in to Tim Black, you're getting the best version of me. Yeah, you're getting the best version of me because this is the Tim Black that realizes there ain't no hope. I mean, not no hope in me. I mean, I don't mean it that way, but I mean it's... See, part of the problem that we have is people are hoping to ascend to levels that only make them ineffective or ineffective. People want to ascend. It's called the Peter Principle. People get promoted to these levels, and then finally the level they get promoted to is to a point where they're no longer a great performer, no longer competent. But see, the way things work in 2022 is you promote yourself to that level. You keep advancing and advancing and advancing until you've advanced and you advance your sweet spot, your zone. You're out of the zone. I'm going to fight for the rights and the humanity and the equality of Black people because nobody else is doing it. And because I feel it, and I'm not, hold on, when I say no one else is doing it, I'm saying it's so far and few in between in this media shit because of everything I named earlier. If you fight for people, if you fight for anybody, your ass is doomed if you have any ethics. This is boring. People are being bored, Tim. They don't want to hear this. I'm just trying to tell you guys that I'm coming for their necks. I'm coming for the neck, Johnson, because as I'm going to report today, there's too much bullshit in our media. Somebody's got to call it out, Johnson, and why not let it be Tim Black? Hashtag fight back. Hashtag no easy wins. Had a couple others, too. I got to think about them. So what I want for you is I want for you to take time tonight. I hope that you enjoy this podcast. This video presentation, and I hope afterwards, if you enjoyed it, I hope you not only share it, but that you become a member of the show, because we ain't going down without a fight. Hashtag cut the check. Hashtag ain't nobody taking my damn cornbread. And we're going to get started with that, Johnson. Let's get started there. We're good. We're good, Tim. We're good. If they don't know, they better ask somebody. My name is Tim Black, and here we go. We're getting started. Top of this show. The top of the show, my opening story, is a little something, something. Little something, something, something. Do I even have a key for this? Okay. Chesa Boudin. Chesa Boudin he was the district attorney. I guess he still isn't until they replace him, right? Chester Boudin was the district attorney elected in San Francisco. He was elected under the banner of progressivism. He was a reformist. He went in saying, we're going to change mass incarceration. We're going to do our best to stop it in its tracks. We're going to do a different type of prosecutorial. We're going to have different ways that we deal with the public. We're going to be more humane. We're going to look at our procedures. We're not just going to feed the oven. We're not just going to put the coal in the oven, meaning us. We're going to make sure that the coal needs to go in the oven. We're going to make sure that we make better choices. So Chester Boudin, San Francisco District Attorney, progressive prosecutor, ousted. Ousted. There was a recall. And his ass is gone, Johnson. Here goes Chester Boudin at a press conference shortly after finding out. He's gone. He's out of there. Arrivederci.
People are angry. They're frustrated. And I want to be very clear about what happened tonight. The right-wing billionaires outspent us 3-1. They exploited an environment in which people are appropriately upset. And they created an electoral dynamic where we were literally shadow boxing. Voters were not asked to choose between criminal justice reform and something else. They were given an opportunity to voice their frustration and their outrage, and they took that opportunity.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't say I'm a fan of it. Just saying this is what it is. I want people to understand what happened here in San Francisco was an overwhelming majority of voters decided that there was too much Boudin in the house. That they have gone too far. They had jumped the shark. Oh my goodness, what is happening here? Now, you heard Chester Boudin, the former DEA, say, hey, it's not me. It's all that real estate money that was piling in. All this outside money. Millions and millions of dollars was spent on the rear on a get rid of Boudin in a recall campaign against this man. For months, they triple spent him out. Just for some more detail on what actually took place here. The San Francisco residents voted overwhelmingly Tuesday to recall Chester Boudin, one of the nation's most progressive top prosecutors. Partial results from the San Francisco Department of Elections on Tuesday night showed the recall measure, also known as Proposition H, the numbers. At the end of the day, it's about the numbers. 60% of the voters wanted him gone. 40% wanted them staying. Boudin sought to reform the criminal justice system, ending the use of cash bail, stopping the prosecution of minors as adults, and focusing on lowering jail populations amid the COVID-19 outbreaks. You would have thought this man wanted to legalize touching kids. He didn't. Did you hear the criteria? Did you hear what the goals were? Let me reread the goals, Johnson. Ending cash bail. Everyone and their mama who pays attention at all, who gives a freaking damn about justice, knows. People with money make bail. People without money don't make bail. That's how the cash bail system works. How many people remember Browder? Khalif Browder, that's his first name. Khalif Browder, the young man who never made bail, died in prison, waiting on bail. Well, he didn't die in prison. He got out, he hung himself. He committed suicide, because how long was he in prison for a book bag? Was it 2 years? Rikers Island? He didn't die in prison. He died due to prison. So anyway, people that pay attention know that our cash bail system disproportionately favors those that have money. That's what cash bail means. If you got cash, you can dash. If you don't got cash, you're going to stay a while. Ending cash bail. Stopping the prosecution of minors as adults. And tamping down on the population during the COVID-19 pandemic surge. It does not sound Looney Tunes, but to the people in San Francisco, what was it? I mean, remember, guys, 60%. We said 60% of people. 60% of the voters wanted them gone. 40%. 60-40. That's not even that damn close, Johnson. What the hell was it then? Why did they do this, Tim Black? Well, money always plays a significant role in every election, in every recall. But there was something else that took place in this case. A little something called Troy McAllister. A gift. A gift to the conservatives. A gift to the Boudin, the anti-Boudin crowd. Let me explain.
Troy McAllister entered a not guilty plea in court today on charges related to the deaths of Hanako Abe and Elizabeth Platt New Year's Eve in San Francisco. The women were in a crosswalk in the SoMa district at the time. San Francisco police say McAllister, who was on parole for a robbery, was trying to make a getaway after committing a burglary and hit and killed the women.
I'm actually shaking right now, still talking about and thinking about what happened.
The tragedy has sparked outrage as San Francisco Police Officers Association President Tony Montoya says McAllister should have been in custody.
This just highlights the current climate of the district attorney's office, where Mr. Boudin and his staff are having their criminals first agenda, with a victim being an afterthought.
Montoya is calling for an independent oversight panel to review San Francisco District Attorney's Office charging decisions and conflicts of interest. After McAllister's court appearance today, Deputy Public Defender Scott Grant said this.
There have been a lot of quick comments, accusations, and attempts to point fingers and apportion blame.
The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation tells ABC 7 News that none of McAllister's numerous arrests following his 2020 release resulted in criminal charges filed by District Attorney Chesa Boudin. Montoya says Boudin had a conflict because he represented McAllister in a 2015 armed robbery case.
When they were making that charging decision that ultimately ended up in Mr. McAllister being released in March of last year, you know, they should have looked at who had any kind of involvement in that case to rule out any conflicts of interest, and they didn't do that.
Public defender Mano Raju says Boudin was standing in for another attorney and that there is no conflict of interest.
It's not a situation where you develop a relationship with the individual or have confidential.
Okay. So folks, most people did not care about the fine print. What they cared about is the headline, and the headline was this. Person, animal, criminal, animal. Because you know how to depict criminals. This guy, repeat offender. Out. They blame Chesa Boudin. He's out because of the policies of Chesa Boudin. I don't even know if Chesa was district attorney when he initially was non-prosecuted or whatever took place. But the narrative that was painted is that Boudin was soft on crime. And this is what you get. You get a guy fleeing, a repeat felon, fleeing from the crime scene, a robbery, I think it was, who runs into and kills two innocent victims, takes their lives. You got that running 24/7. You got people already pissed off because someone broke in their car. Someone littered, someone shot something, stores are getting broken into, smashing grabs. I don't know. All forms of criminal activity have all been crystallized into one big steaming pile. And then it's dumped on the DA, the reformist, this shiny, bright-eyed optimist with naive ideals of not continuing the mass incarceration started by Joe Biden. Oh, they had to have a fall guy, and this was the fall guy. And as you can see, a lot of people were willing, more than willing, to chomp at the bit and jump in. Now, also what's important here, Chester Boudin did not win this walking away. I mean, he only got 37% of the vote before, and because of so many people running, is the reason why he was put in the office. Though if you listen to someone like Megyn Kelly talk about this, you would have thought it would have been a huge reform of progressivism and such a pushback. No one wants progressives. No one wants progressive policies. Look what they did to this guy. This guy needs to go. Boudin needs to go. So the facts are that he squeaked to victory to begin with. And now he's been recalled. Of course, there's somewhat apprehensions that this may signal implications for other progressive DAs across the country. But all of this is yet to be seen. But it could happen to anyone. When you have a smear campaign launched against you and you have a lot of money lined up behind it, no matter how good you are, Nina Turner, no matter if you support reparations, ending mass incarceration, Medicare for all, student debt relief, no matter if you support those programs, you could have somebody who does not support those programs be sold to the people as just as progressive. And that's what happened with Boudin. Now, how does this election process work? What happens now? Well, now they have a new election. He's recalled. It's a do-over, Johnson. And the people will pick again. So there will be a runoff election. No, not the people. The mayor picks. I'm sorry. San Francisco mayor will pick a successor, temporary successor. Then the people get to vote again. And there you have it. On to other campaign news, because it is election season. This is what's going on in the primaries, Johnson. Karen Bass against Kevin Caruso. Los Angeles. Karen Bass could become the first female mayor. The second black mayor. Black and female. I don't know. I know that once upon a time, Karen Bass is very forward, like progressive, very activist-oriented. And then she tempered her approach down to become more centrist so she could survive. You got to be able to survive, Johnson. If you can't survive, you can't help people. If you can't stay in the system, I mean, if you're going to work in the system, it helps to be reelected. It helps to be able to win a seat. So once upon a time, Karen Bass was very progressive, and now not so much. But the person she's going up against for the mayoral seat there in Los Angeles is a former Republican. A former Republican with not very progressive ideals, not very forward-thinking, not very new ideas. Who's this guy? I think I got a picture of him. Here he is. No, nothing new, nothing great about Mr. Caruso, but there is something. I'm sorry, Rick Caruso. Not Kevin, Rick Caruso. What's great about him is he has a lot of money. Oh, yeah. Rick Caruso has the paper. He got the paper, baby. And as long as you got the paper, it doesn't much matter what your politics is. You have a shot, Johnson. That's what money does for you. It gives you opportunities at bat, Johnson. The next 5 months of Caruso Bass, what the strategies might look like. This is reported by the LA Times. Campaigning will likely amplify as the partisan schism between Caruso, a Republican turned Democrat, best known for his business bona fides. Does that sound familiar? best known for his business bona fides, now wants to be a politician. I wonder why. How these people become politicians, I don't know, man. But hey, if people like them, people like them. Who am I to tell you? Who am I to tell the people? The people choose, Johnson. Well, I mean, how naive. The corporations and the special interests choose. That's who chooses. We don't really choose, do we? Hey, sometimes we get to weigh in. But once the corporations and the special interests get a whiff, then all of a sudden what they want becomes the priority, not what you want. So here we are. It's a special runoff election between the two, Caruso and Bass. And folks, once again, I would like to tell you that based on political stances, that Karen Bass is the better option. Based on her former bona fides as a progressive. Caruso, a centrist Republican, which is basically a Democrat, same thing. They're the same people, Johnson. It's already two wings on the same bird, but this is the same. This is just same damn side of beef. This is the white meat. Okay, so. All right, Johnson. What's going to happen here? I'm not sure. Guess we'll have to watch this one kind of closely. You know, Karen Bass, she was on the short list for VP. And I don't know what happened with that. I think they dangled the carrot out there a little bit just to make it look interesting, like a progressive had an opportunity, had a shot. I don't think she ever really did. But now that she's running for mayor, old Jesse Jackson and some others have come out to endorse her, and she's sitting pretty with some endorsements from some others, and this will be an interesting race. But the bottom line, it's going to require dollars, payola. It's going to require ass-kissery and the whole nine, Johnson. That's how it works. What I will not do is get wrapped up into the whole female and black thing. You know, based on policies for a mayor is like a very important position in a place like Los Angeles. In fact, anywhere, in any place. What I'm saying, this is a big job. This is a big opportunity for Karen Bass. And Rick Caruso, he spent $40 million, I think it is. I think he's a billionaire, so he's willing to spend a whole lot more. He's like little Bloomberg. Willing to spend it all. Look at an opportunity to win this thing. What is it about rich people and being politicians, man? I guess they know where the power is. Maybe it's for legacy. I don't know. Let's move on. But stand in the political area, Johnson. I want you to get this political stuff. You guys okay over there? I got my people on YouTube. You two, what's up, baby? How y'all doing? You okay? You doing okay? Okay, context matters. Thank you, my friend, Sharif Hakeem. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. Please subscribe to this channel. Become a member of the Tim Black Wolf Pack. You can do that later. JoinTimBlack.com is where you go do that. Let's get the likes up. Are we at 200 likes? Can we get to 200 likes? Can we get some shares? Can we get some likes? Can we share it? Can we like it? Come on now, folks. This is a live stream, Johnson. Live streams, we got to be live during the live streams. We gotta amp it up during the live streams, Johnson. So let's get some more likes on the board, Johnson. Let's get some shares going on. Come on now. Let's get some shares going on over here. And let's see what we're looking at here. Okay. Can we get to 100 likes? Can we get to 100? I think we can do this. I think we can do 100 likes, Johnson. We gotta tell the algorithm this show is worth doing. All right, so back to what I was saying. Back to it, Johnson. Back to it, Tim Black. There we go. Back to number one. Okay. You guys ready for the fun part? CNN is having a change of heart. CNN is going to be changing its format. CNN understands which way that wind is blowing. So now CNN wants to make some adaptations to its lineup. This is interesting. So CNN got a new boss. His name is Chris Licht. I think that's it. He's evaluating whether personalities and programming that grew polarizing during the Trump era can adapt to the network's new priority to be less partisan. I said it, Johnson. I said it. Yes, Johnson. I thought I had a picture for this because this is amazing. I don't have a picture for this. This is hilarious, Johnson. Okay. Here's the deal. CNN understands that the money is low. Things are running out. The money's not stacking up. And they can't compete with Fox News. They have to be able to compete. And Trump had a lot of voters. So if you alienate all Trump voters, then how can you do a demi-poor? Yeah, you can't alienate the Trump voters. Or you can't do a Tucker Carlson. Yeah, you got to keep them in play. You got to keep them interested. You can't offend their sensibilities, can you? So you, in order to do a respectable job in the ratings categories, which will impact how well you do in the advertising revenue categories, you got to make sure you don't got a bunch of woke bastards messing up the money. So if talent cannot adjust to a less partisan tone and strategy, they could be ousted. This is reported by Axios. Lynch wants to give personalities that may appear polarizing a chance to prove that they're willing to upload or uphold the network's values. And so that they don't tarnish CNN's journalism brand. Oh, God. Okay. This needs to be vodka, not water, Johnson. Jesus Christ, man. Did you hear this shit? I'm sorry. They said Lynch wants to give personalities that may appear polarizing an opportunity to prove that they're willing to uphold the network's values so they don't tarnish CNN's journalism brand. Hey, Lynch, let me holler at you, bro. Oh, man. Give me a bro. Have a seat, bro. Have a seat. CNN's journalism brand that you talk about that you don't want to tarnish, it got boo-boo all over it. Yeah, this CNN brand that you're talking about is toast. The quarterback is toast. Bruh, what are you talking about, bruh? Have you any, like, awareness at all to the climate out here? Yeah, see, here's what's happening. There's a thing called the internet, which means people can go look at your shit. They don't have to be up to watch it. They can watch it whenever they want. And they can also go back in the archives and see how horrible you've been over time. Okay? Two things you must know about the black demographic. A lot of black people, there's still some black people that have been handcuffed by the narratives of the liberal class and the elites and Hollywood, whatever that is. But this is an emerging new trend that people are thinking for themselves a little bit more often, which means sometimes consuming bullshit. But it also means seeing through nonsense and narratives that are spun. What I'm trying to tell you is that black people ain't going for the bullshit no more, Johnson. Nah, black people are not going for the bullshit. Latinos aren't going for the bullshit. Some white people are going for the bullshit. It's called QAnon. But they're going to wake up, too, because you keep saying that you know, the end of the world is coming tomorrow and it don't come, eventually somebody got to go, hey, man, maybe I want to plan for Christmas. Maybe I should be agnostic because this shit ain't working. Like, so we're not going to let you tell us who our leaders are. And so CNN with your garbage reporting, just like most cable news media that is kowtowing to corporations, continuing to lead people astray. Fed us the Russia nonsense for 4 fucking years just because you didn't like Trump. Just so you could get Biden to come in and lose his parking space. Forget where he parked his car and catch the bus home. Just so you could get that guy elected. To set him up so that you wouldn't have another Hillaryfication. A Hillary Geddon. A Hillary catastrophe. And that's really all that happened, Johnson. That's what people need to know. So people still remember CNN doing this. It's going to take a lot more than you reprimanding your host. You need to revamp that thing, Johnson. Flip it up. Rub it down. Oh, no. Toss it. Flip it. Rub it down. Oh, no. You got to do more than a rub shaker. You got to do more to go with the new school. You need some new jack swing, Johnson. That's what they need. They're going to need some serious new jack swing, Johnson. Come on now. Tell them now. Tell them because they don't know, Johnson. They not getting it. That's like, oh, Tim Black is doing this black thing. He said, listen, if you can understand Herschel Walker, you can understand me, okay? If you can, you can keep up with the Joe Biden speech. Don't act like I'm hard to understand. CNN has sold this so a long time ago for ratings, viewership, chasing anything shiny. Yeah, I covered the Will Smith event too, but I only covered it for a week. You fuckers covered Russia, Misty Daniels, Stormy Daniels, and every other piece of shit story for as long as humanly possible, as long as it put money in your coffers. And now you want to act like you caught religion. Well, people are not going to buy into that. It's going to take a long road. You got to do this for a long time. Hope you're ready. Strap up. Be ready. CNN's tone became more partisan and combative during the Trump era and under the leadership of former CNN president Jeff Zucker. To conservative critics, some personalities became, such as like Jim Acosta and Brian Stelter, have become the face of the network's liberal shift. This is hilarious, too. This is funny stuff, Johnson. And you know me, I don't like jokes. Bruh. This is all spin. Jeff Zucker went after the Trump money like everybody else went after the Trump money, including Fox. It's where the money was. It was either supporting Trump or turn down Trump. Some people supported him. Some people tore him down. I kind of just reported both sides and stayed out of it, which meant I came out the worst. Others did not report on anything negative about Trump and did very well. Those people are now called progressives. Well, some of them are. Oh, I'm sorry. Truth tellers. CNN took the money and now they're facing the backlash because that era is over, but the people have left and they ain't coming back, Johnson. So we'll see what Licht does. He took over last month after the Jeff Zucker exit of the scandal exit. Axios has all this information. We'll see what happens. Funny. But this is what they do, Johnson. They try to reinvent themselves. Pretend that they aren't who they are. Yes, right. They want to pretend that they aren't who they are, Johnson, but they are exactly who we thought they are. And that's it. Okay. The House passed a sweeping gun reform. Yay! The House passed a sweeping gun reform, Johnson. Yes, Johnson. Sweeping gun reform. That's what I'm talking about. Sweeping gun reform passed in the House. All types of great sweeping gun reform. Listen, guys, this is amazing stuff. Listen, the House voted Wednesday, 223 to 204, to pass a wide-ranging package of gun control measures called the Protect Our Kids Act. Protect Our Kids Act. They care about the kids, Johnson. Not the broke kids, the poor kids. Not the kids without health care, without student loan debt. Not the kids whose parents couldn't own shit because of discrimination and low evaluations on their property or not being able to get loans. Nah, none of that shit. None of the things of institutional or systemic racism that has plagued America since day one that affects the kids. No, but now we're talking about protecting our kids. The Protect Our Kids Act. We want to protect our kids now for bullets. Not the ones that fly through windows at night in the inner city, but the ones that fly through schools. Okay, Tim. So five Republicans voted for the bill. I don't care who they are, but they all voted for it. Okay, the legislation passed the House includes a series of individual bills aimed at preventing gun violence. They want to prevent the gun violence. The measure would raise the legal age to buy certain semi-automatic rifles from 18 to 21, Johnson. Give it up for that, 18 to 21. This is a beautiful thing, Johnson. 18 to 21. This is what we're talking about. What else would it do, Tim Black? Please tell us more, Tim Black. They would establish new federal offenses for gun trafficking and for selling large capacity magazines and allow local governments to compensate individuals who surrender such magazines. Turn in your magazines, your hustlers, your playboys, your players' magazines, and get some money. All right, they got a buyback program. It would create a tax incentive for retail sales of safe storage devices and criminal penalties for breaking new requirements regulating firearm storage on residential premises. Don't store your gun right. We found out about it. You're going to pay, Johnson. You are going to pay, Johnson. Wow. The measure would also take steps to strengthen existing federal regulations on bump stocks and ghost guns, Johnson. Woo! What a sweeping reform! What a sweeping reform, baby! This is what I'm talking about. Woo-wee! Baby, you have no idea. You have no idea how much better I feel knowing this legislation has passed, Johnson. Oh, man, I feel so much better now. I was worried there for a second. I thought we were in trouble. I thought things weren't going to work out. I thought we were all going to get shot. That the potentiality of more shootings was just more around the corner. That it was just more doom and gloom. That there was no way we were going to get reform. And then the House came and passed this. But it means nothing because it will not pass the Senate. Then it won't pass the Senate. It will not pass the Senate. This is an exercise in futility. This is just kicking the ball up the hill to watch it roll back down the hill. This is just rushing to finish the roof. Not realizing it's going to give you another roof to do. Shout out to Earthquake. That's all this is, Johnson. But feel happy, because the Democrats are doing something. This should inoculate them from any type of criticism that Tim Black could level at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party or any parties at all, even a House party. Do you realize that guns, bullets, being shot is the number one killer of children? Not car accidents, not illness, guns. And we're going to have a Senate tell you, we can't do nothing about it, Johnson, because it would violate our Second Amendment. I want you Second Amendment fetishing weirdos to realize something. Back when the Second Amendment was written, We didn't even have bullets. We had muskets. Poof. Stand still. Poof. Shit. Give us some more of that powder shit. That's the type of, let alone semi-automatic or bump stocks. We didn't even have damn bullets. Back when that shit was written only 100 years before that, less than 100 years before that, did we even realize that bacteria required soap? Good thing the Second Amendment didn't say that black people deserve reparations. You'd be stuck paying that, wouldn't you? Because whatever said in our amendments, we got to follow. It is what it is, Justin. It is what it is. So I just want everybody to temper the celebrations, the popping of champagne, the victory laps, the twerking. Because at the end of the day, if you can't get this through the Senate, it never happened. Last but not least, remember when there was a shooting? Remember that shooting? You know, because we've had like 10 more mass shootings since this shooting. Remember the shooting that took place in Uvalde, Texas? Oh, yeah, okay. I'm just making sure, because we've had so many mass shootings, you may have forgotten already. The news cycle's kind of hung around for a while, buzzing like flies. One of the things that came out of that horrific, horrendous, despicable day, in the aftermath of that day, is the fact that police are under no obligation to risk their lives for you. For me? Shit. Or even babies. No, they're under no obligation to put their life at risk. Any officer that risks his life is doing so of their own volition. They're going above and beyond. When they rush into a building, though you've heard this shit all your life about cops running towards gunfire, well, in Uvalde, Texas, they did the opposite. Well, they sat still. They sat outside while the gunshots were going off. So there's been conversation online on my channel, but various other places, about the realization for some, because there's been court rulings about this, that police officers are under no obligation to risk their lives. They want to make it home just like everyone else, just like Uber drivers, Walmart workers, and hedge fund investors. There's a story. Arizona police placed on leave after watching man drown. Yes, this story is picked right out of the brains of, or the consciousness of, what's happening right now. Right? So I watched the entire film of this. There was a couple. Looks appears to be a homeless couple. They were near a lake. Okay? I forget the name of the lake. It's a big lake. Okay. There's footage of this where the cops come up, they find the woman. The woman has had an argument with her husband or common-law husband or boyfriend or whatever the circumstance is. They then approach the man, the young man. His name is Mr. Bickings, Sean Bickings, and they start to talk to him. While they're talking to him, he slowly steps over the fence and says, "I'm going for a swim." Now, the officers say, "Hey, dude, you cannot swim in that lake. You can't swim in the lake. No, this is not for swimming. It's against the law to swim in the lake." He said, "I'm just going to take a quick dip." Well, for 12 minutes, he drowns. He screams for his life. They're not sharing all of the footage. But there are transcripts of him begging for them to save him. There's also transcripts of the police officers saying, I'm not going to help you. Now, I've looked at this several ways. Yeah, I looked at this several ways to try to decipher really what took place. And yes, this man got in that water on his own volition. But he did not commit suicide, Johnson. Similar to how other people do other things that are stupid, like jump into lakes, jump into rivers, walk across highways. He did not mean to kill himself. He did something, yes. He meant to do the act. He did not know the penalty of the act. He was coherent. He was realizing he was in trouble. And the officers refused to act. The officers basically watched the man drown. I don't think the officers thought he was going to drown. To be honest with you guys, I'm completely transparent. So I can sleep tonight? I don't think those officers thought he was going to drown. I think those officers thought he got his ass in that water, he could get his ass out that water. Not exactly the tack to take if you're supposed to be, you know, a cop. But in reality, it is the act. See, that's the thing. This is a false narrative that we've created in our heads from too many Bruce Willis movies. Yeah, too many Bruce Willis movies, too many Miami Vice or whatever. Too much TV. Too much sitcom. You know, too much bullshit. Too many lies has this narrative in our brains. The cops are going to jump in the water and save this guy. This guy's going to come back a year later and buy them all pizza and donuts or name his kids after him or something. Like, no, in the real life, officers looked at this guy, looked at that water and said, good luck to you. Good luck. You got yourself in it. Get yourself out it. Hey, man, I'm not trained and I'm not trying. And that's what happened. And Mr. Strix, Mr. Sean Bickings, Mr. Bickings, 34-year-old Tip Town resident, he drowned. That's what took place. That's what happened. The officers didn't as much as get wet. So, you know, over the years, people tell me, Tim Black, you're wrong about the police. You pegged them wrong. You jump to conclusions about the police. You're always siding with, you know, citizens. Yeah. I'm sure you'll find a way to make this okay. And you make it okay because it's not your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your father, your son or your daughter that drowned broad daylight on a domestic call in the presence of four officers. And nobody went in. Nobody even stood on the edge going, hey, give me your hand. Of course, we, you know, I'm open to seeing the rest of the body footage that they have redacted because they said they don't want to disturb the public because it's too graphic. Yeah, because if you release that body cam footage, we won't see anything except a person splashing and crying out in blood-curdling fashion for their life. And we may also hear officers laugh. Sort of like they laughed at George Floyd. Sort of like they laughed at Tony Tempa. That's the real reason. That's what I think the reason is. But you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to leave 2% doubt, okay? To get that footage released so I can take a look for myself and see why the police, the Tempe police, does not want to release all of the body cam footage. Why is it edited? But just remember, folks, all those critics All you people out there, everyone out there, just remember, the officer is under no obligation to risk a damn thing for you. They show up after your shot, and when you need help, they don't have to help. It is up to them. Those officers who watched the man drown, they will pay leave. That's it. That's all. All right, guys, that's it. I'm Tim Black. This is Pause with Tim Black. Let's go to the comments section. We lose. Context matters. This is how we do it. Thank you, Johnson. I appreciate you being here as always, my brother. Welcome back. Anthony Malecki. Yes, Joy. You're feeling an overwhelming sense of camaraderie. You got it, brother. Damn, thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it, man. Vegana Piranha in the house. Nice hat and suit, Tim. Looking sharp. We don't get to pick who runs. We only get to pick which steaming pile of poo is right for us. Give it up for that. Sir Keith Bishop. That's right, Johnson. Cut the damn chat. My brother. I appreciate y'all. I'm Real Tim Black on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Tim Black and that on Instagram. I'm the Tim Black Show on TikTok. And I'm everywhere you are on social media. Damn it, I missed. I have to watch the replay. Crypto Mojito, what's up, brother? It's all good. Find me on Patreon. Join TimBlack.com. Starting at only $5 a month. It is what it is, Johnson. It is what it is. Jesus. Thank you for hitting like. Thank you for the shares. I'll see you on the next one. Remember, Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have another Freedom Friday coming your way. Be here for Freedom Friday, Johnson. I love you. Remember, cut the check. Wolfpack.